Okay. Then from craving, what we get is grasping. Okay? So craving and grasping are both forms of attachment. Yeah? They're both the disturbing attitude of attachment. And grasping is the attachment, which is the strong increase of craving. Okay? So it's when you've gotten craving down really well, you've graduated to grasping. Yeah? So we're just really clinging on. Yeah? And so this is, you know, again, it happens very strongly at death. It happens other times during our life like craving does, but also especially strongly at death. Because whereas craving is very often associated with the present body, we're craving it, we don't want to be separated from it. Grasping is then grasping at the next body. And it's grasping at the appearances that appear to the mind, that then by grasping at it, it makes the karma ripen and it propels us towards that next particular body. Okay? So grasping is, you know, like you might, like, for example, somebody who is a good example. I mean, the first thing, it was a bad example of somebody who's going to be reborn in the lower realms. But, well, it's a good example, but it's a bad example. In the sense, you know, like, let's say somebody has the karma that they're going to be born in one of the life forms of incredible suffering. Well, at death time, they might be really strongly grasping onto this body. They're, you know, they don't want to separate from it, but they're realizing that they have to separate from it. And then they have an appearance in their mind of this very hot place. And at that moment, this hot place seems wonderful. In their mind, it just seems so wonderful. So they grasp for it. Okay, there's this appearance in the mind, and the mind grasps and says, ah, oh, I want that. And whammo, they take rebirth in the hot hells. Okay? Because the mind's grasping at that. And remember, before I started teaching the 12 links, I was really talking about it as analogous to a dysfunctional relationship. And here you can really see it. You know, when you're in a dysfunctional relationship, you have an appearance of something, which if you had some wisdom, you would realize is awful. But it's appearing to you as wonderful. And you're running towards it. Yeah? Isn't that what happens in dysfunctional things? You know? Or somebody who's really involved, you know, somebody who's really has a chemical dependency problem. Yeah? The appearance of the booze or the dope or whatever it is like, this is wonderful. And they run for it, you know, they grasp at it, and then what happens? It's complete misery afterwards. Yeah? So this is kind of what's happening, you know, especially at death time when different appearances come in the mind. We might not be real clear thinking. And so the mind runs towards these various things. It grasps at them. And so that grasping, you know, becomes a form of grasping at what the next life is going to be. Okay, when they talk about grasping in general, I'll talk about that later. Okay, when they talk about grasping in general, they talk about four kinds. Not all these kinds ripen at the time of death. This is just a general description of grasping. One is when we're grasping to sense pleasure, to desirable things. Okay, so that's kind of like craving when we're, you know, sense pleasures, want it. Okay, second kind of grasping is when we're grasping, it's called grasping to the view. And this is where we're very attached to wrong views. Okay? So we're very attached to these wrong opinions we have. For example, we might say, there's no such thing as cause and effects. Karma is a bunch of junk. You know, don't tell me about karma and rebirth. This just doesn't exist. Okay? And I'm completely convinced of this. So that's an example of like grasping at the view. Because the mind is super attached to its own wrong opinion. Yeah? Well, we're like that, aren't we? Yeah? I mean, this, when we're talking about attachment to the view,
Here we're talking about like important philosophical views, you know, like if you think God's created the universe, okay, from a Buddhist viewpoint, that's a wrong philosophical view. But if you're like completely entrenched in that view, God created the universe, there's no other way it came about, that would be attachment to a view. And we get real, real attached to our wrong views. Yeah. In fact, sometimes we feel very threatened by anybody challenging our views, challenging our philosophy. Yeah. We can even get attached to right views and feel threatened when people challenge them too. Okay? Because we just get real attached to our opinions. If I think that it's right, that's very clear. Okay? But here especially, the attachment to those wrong views are quite, that can be real damaging, because if we think that God created the earth, then it's going to be real hard for us to practice the path to enlightenment, because instead of seeing ourselves as responsible, we might be likely to see God as responsible. Okay? So I am not saying that Christians can't create good karma and can't become enlightened. Don't get me wrong, okay? Because there's as much variety in Christians and what they believe as there are in Buddhists, maybe even more. But what I'm saying is, like, if we have this really strong wrong view, let's say there's a particular person who has a strong wrong view and says, my happiness is completely dependent on God. I don't need to do anything except maybe please God. Okay, so I make God some presents or things like this. Some people look at the Buddha in the same way. You know, I give Buddha some presents, then the Buddha should give me some happiness. Yeah. So this kind of wrong view doesn't give us the opportunity to free ourselves. Yeah, or if we don't believe in cause and effect and we think, oh, it doesn't matter, you know, I can do what I want, and then after I've done it, you know, as long as when I lie it doesn't hurt anybody, it's not going to have any effect on my mind. Yeah. As long as when I use really cruel words, nobody else is around, it's not going to affect my mind, or, you know, something like that. So not believing in cause and effect. Okay. Then another kind of grasping is grasping to the self. Okay, so this is grasping, it's also called grasping to the doctrine. So this is like a really strong pride or grasping in this, you know, true existence of the person, true existence of phenomena. It's like, things are solid. You know, there is a me inside, I'm fully convinced there's a me, there's a body, there's a mind, everything's real solid. Okay? That's called grasping at the doctrine. And then the fourth kind of grasping is grasping to wrong ethics and conduct. And so this is thinking that things that can't, that don't have the capacity to produce liberation do produce liberation. You know, so here you get all the funny paths that people teach. And so the Buddhists are always very quick to point out, there's this one story that they love to tell about some ascetic in India, you know, I don't know how many centuries ago, who had some kind of clairvoyance. And the thing was that his clairvoyance was limited. It wasn't perfect clairvoyance like the Buddha's. It was limited clairvoyance. So he saw that in a previous life he had been a dog. Yeah? So he had been a dog in a previous life, and he was a human being in this life. So he drew the mistaken conclusion that acting like a dog creates the cause to be reborn human. So since he wanted to be reborn again human, in a future life he started acting like a dog again. Okay? You see, this is why you have to be really careful of people who say they have clairvoyant powers. Because people can have limited clairvoyance and it doesn't give you the complete story. Yeah, because acting like a dog isn't caused to become a human being, even though that person may have been a dog in the rebirth before they were a human being. You know, it was different causes that created the human rebirth. Okay? So things like that, or things like thinking that if you walk across hot coals, you're going to purify your negative karma. Yeah. Or thinking that if you, bathe yourself in holy water, you're going to purify negative karma. Or thinking that if you, Jim Jones followers, thinking that if they follow their guru perfectly and take poison, they're going to attain liberation. Okay? So, or even grasping to ascetic practices, grasping and thinking that, if I just fast long enough, I'm going to purify myself. Yeah? I mean, all you need to do is pick up a New Age magazine and you'll see lots of, when we're talking about these different kinds of things, okay, attachment to the view, attachment to the doctrine, attachment to wrong ethics and practices. Yeah? Lots of these. And so do you remember when we were studying about the disturbing attitudes, we were talking about the root disturbing attitudes? Okay. Do you remember we covered these things? Yeah? Okay. So it's just coming up again here. Okay. So what craving and grasping do when they arise at death time is they act as the water and fertilizer to make the karmic seed ripen. Okay? So let's say during the life, I had great faith in the Buddha Dharma Sangha and I made an offering on the altar, okay? And I prayed to become an enlightened and I prayed for a good rebirth. I dedicated it for it like that, okay? So I still had ignorance at that time because I was still grasping at myself as inherently existent and the apple as inherently existent and the Buddha undoubtedly was too. But I created karma, but it was virtuous karma. Because it was karma of generosity. That karma, that imprint, was put on my consciousness. And then, at the time of death, craving and grasping are arriving, craving for this body, grasping for the next. But let's say I'm dying and I manage to think of the Buddha Dharma Sangha as I'm dying. Because I have lots of Dharma friends around me who are, not letting me forget, okay, because they're all chanting or they're giving me instructions or showing me pictures of the Buddha or something like that. So craving and grasping are coming because I'm still grasping very much at this I, but my mind's in a positive state, so maybe I kind of have like a nice vision coming, and my craving and grasping wind up nourishing this seed in the mind stream of having made the offering to the Buddha in the past. Okay? So that karmic seed that is now nourished by the craving and grasping and is ready to take the next rebirth, that's the 10th link of becoming. Okay? So becoming, or it's called existence, is the thought which exists in the nature of the ripening aggregates, okay, the ripening aggregates, meaning the body and mind of the future life, and is extremely potent karma made stronger by its craving and grasping. So it's that karmic seed when it is just ready to ripen, and, right before you go into your next life. Yeah?
So it has to be craving and grasping.
Yeah. If you don't, and see, this is one thing, that if we develop the wisdom realizing emptiness, then we don't crave and grasp at the time of death. Then no karma gets activated for another rebirth. Okay? So there is craving and grasping at some level. But again, there's different kinds of craving and grasping. Okay? The kind that might nourish a good karma and the kind that might nourish a harmful karma. Okay, so another example would be, let's say, somebody who was, really into killing off wildlife and didn't care at all. They were really into killing the different wildlife around the planet, okay? So they have the ignorance, the karma of, doing the killing. That seed is planted on the mind stream. Then at death time, they have craving and grasping, and due to, maybe the environment or due to the way they were thinking, maybe when as they were starting to die,
They were watching the TV, you know, because you go in the hospital, so many people die to, you know, they're dying to L.A. Law, okay? So L.A. Law is on the tube, and there's this violence on the tube, and you're dying, and it makes you think violent, yeah? Because we watch these things, that's how we begin to think, isn't it? Yeah? I mean, that's why you have to be real careful what you watch on TV. So you start thinking like that. You generate craving and grasping because you're dying there in Swedish to L.A. Law. And this karma ripens of having killed all this wildlife on the planet without caring to your beings. Okay? And so then maybe you have some appearance at the time that you're dying of, you know, all these animals. And it appears really nice and you grasp at it. And whammo, you're reborn, you know, as a calf in one of these, you know how they grow the veal now, you know, in these cages and the animals can't even move or anything? So your mind has this kind of karma that's ripening, and then you take that kind of rebirth. So becoming is that karma right before you've taken the rebirth. It's like just ready, you know, to lead you into the next life. Uh-huh.
And are craving, grasping, always happening?
Yeah, it will, because grasping arrives from craving.
So they are.
Yeah, they are, very much. So it's like at death time, if you're able to focus on emptiness, you'll cut the craving, you'll cut the grasping. At death time, we may not be able to focus on emptiness, but we may be able to lessen our craving and not make it so strong. Okay, make the mind more relaxed, which again gives the opportunity at least for some positive karma to ripen. Yeah? Well, I wouldn't, don't like to use the word deserve, okay? But let's say we're a human being. We are creating the beginning of lots of sets of 12 links. Okay, so it's like today I got really angry. I created one set of 12 links because I got angry and I spoke harshly. But I also, you know, helped somebody, a little old lady, carry her packages, so I created some good karma. And then 5 minutes later, I was there telling somebody off again, and another 5 minutes later, I was making an offering on the altar, and 5 minutes later, I was saying the four immeasurables, and another 5 minutes later, I was lying to somebody, okay? But, I mean, this is kind of the way it is, isn't it? Yeah? I mean, this is the way it is. So what we have there is we have the first 2.5 links of many different sets of 12 links. Okay? Because we have ignorance, karma, and causal consciousness of many, many different sets of 12 links. And they're all resting on my mind stream. Let's say you guys aren't there. Yeah, and I'm flying to India and the plane gets hijacked and they're torturing me and, you know, my mind's completely bananas berserky, okay? So the craving and grasping at that time, it activates the karma, let's say, from the time I was lying to somebody. So that karma gets activated. I get reborn as a dog, you know, and in one of your houses, and I'm always... Okay. Now I'm in a dog body. I still have all these beginnings of 12 links that I created while I was human being. They're still on my mind stream when I'm a dog. Yeah, they're all there. Okay. Now I was born as a dog in your house. And when I'm dying as a dog, you know, you stay there and you give me the nectar pills and you're doing mantra and you tell me to take a human rebirth and you're reading Dharma texts to me and everything like that. So somehow when I'm dying as a dog, I have a good thought, a positive karma from when I made from when I helped the little old lady carry her packages. Okay, so becoming is when that karma is really ripe, ready to produce the next rebirth. Then the 11th link is rebirth, which are the aggregates which exist in the nature of the contaminated or diluted ripening, and which were joined to the new life by being under the control of disturbing attitudes and karma. Okay, so rebirth is the body and mind again at the time of conception. And then from rebirth, you get the next link, which is death, aging and death, actually. Okay? So aging is the body which decays by being under the control of disturbing attitudes and karma. And death is the cessation of a similar type of mental and physical aggregates. That is, the mind separating from the body under the control of disturbing attitudes and karma. So birth is when you take, you know, when you're conceived in the womb, and after that you have aging and death. Okay, that's a real interesting way to think of life, because we usually think of children. We don't think of children as aging, really, do we? I mean, we think of them as growing. But in actual fact, from the time we were conceived in our mom's womb, we've been dying the whole time. Yeah? So we're in the process of aging, and then it leads to death. And so this is going on the whole life. But we don't see it, and we always think aging and death are things that happen to other people, or if they're going to happen to me, they're going to happen way, way, way long time. Yeah? But in actual fact, from the very moment after conception, we've been in the process of heading towards death. Yeah? So the whole impetus on this thing is like, it's all under the influence of disturbing attitudes and karma. You know, in other words, we're all on automatic, so to speak. Whenever our minds are just under the influence of the disturbing attitudes and the karma, we're just kind of running, thinking we're finding happiness, thinking what we're doing is fantastic. And yet, in actual fact, our minds are just completely on automatic, you know, under the influence of the disturbing attitudes and karma. So we aren't really free. Yeah. We make a big deal about being free in America. We think we have so much freedom, but we don't have freedom from our own anger. We don't have freedom from our own attachment or our jealousy or our pride or our laziness or our wrong views. Yeah. So we aren't really free.